Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, founder, president, and CTO, Vortex Immersion Media, Edward Lance.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guests, Cal David and Lori Bono. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
We have titled this episode of the Life Changes Show, Life Changing Experiences. It's interesting, actually. On Saturday night, I met somebody who we were watching a show together. Actually, we were watching our musical guests, Cal David and Lori Bono. He turns to me and says, how do you know them? And I said, well, I know them this that way and that way, and they're going to be our guests on the Life Changes Show. And he said, the Life Changes Show? Why the Life Changes Show? And I said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, why would you call it Life Changes? And I said, I've never been asked that before, because life changes? And he said, boy, does it ever. Can I tell you? And then for about 20 minutes, he started telling me how his life has changed. And I thought I was supposed to be this, and I started out as this. And I said, and at the end of this 20-minute monologue, I said, and you asked me why the name Life Changes? He said, kind of ironic, huh? And I said, you're going to hear that on the show on Monday, actually. And so there it is. But that show that I was experiencing with Cal David and Lori Bono playing was an experience. I was having an experience, and there were moments that were truly life-changing, like potentially that moment even with an audience member, right? But life changes don't just happen when we we have a baby or we get married or we get fired or whatever it is. Those aren't the only life changes. What a lot of people don't realize is life changes when we're watching TV. Life changes when we're reading a book. Life changes when we're going to a movie. And so many people think that, oh, you know, let's go see this movie. And they'll pick a horror movie, or they'll pick a movie with a lot of violence. And then they think they walk out the same person that they walked in. Oh, wasn't that entertaining? And I have refused to go with friends of mine to some of these movies, because when we walk out, we're in a different place than where we started. We're angry. We might even be angry with each other and not know why. Well, I might know why, because we've just been bombarded with anger for 2 hours, anger that's bigger than life, that's the music and the drama and all of that is happening right there. And what I love about this show, Life Changing Experiences, we're calling this episode, like I mentioned, is that we have Ed Lance on the show, because he's talking about making that even more life-changing, even more dramatic, and yet for potentially very positive effects, for potentially changing life for the better. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation, and I'm glad we're starting it here, and I'm looking forward to it growing from here. With that, looking forward to Ed Lance Live and Cal David and Lori Bono, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray, on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Legere. And Mark, I know you're really good about not having your son be subjected to these kinds of shows and all that, but it's important for adults too.
it's important for everyone. And it's something that I've learned and have grown to, to try to curate as best I can. But, you know, they're going to see stuff, and, you know, they see stuff on billboards, and it's around. It's part of life. But I think if we can kind of be mindful of what we're watching and then being mindful of how we're affected, and the bigger the TV screen is or the bigger the movie theater was, you know, you remember those exciting new moments, and we're going to talk about the next level of this excitement.
Right.
But
you mean the new moments, like all of a sudden we have Technicolor or we have surround sound or Dolby
or IMAX.
Yeah.
And now IMAX. We're going to go to a whole new level.
That's already happening.
Yeah.
And now it's a whole new level from
it's
there.
It's going to start to happen for everyone.
Well, our guest is an entertainment technology engineer. I had never heard that. I like it. I want to know more about that. He's an immersive experience designer and an innovator in giant screen digital cinema. I should probably say giant screen digital cinema. I wonder if Brent can make me sound like the guy at the movies.
Yeah,
but anyway.
More reverb.
So and so much more, actually. Why don't we just welcome him right away? Edward Lance. Ed, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. It's good to be here.
It's great to have you here. Well, first of all, what we were sharing about going to the movies and all that, you were nodding your head. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, media does influence us and affects our consciousness. And, you know, I mean, in some very delightful ways, in ways that thrill us or challenge us, and especially when you identify with characters. Of course, you know, you can get that out of reading a novel, right? But movies bring that to another level of realism.
Right. Yep. Right. A whole other level.
Yeah.
And so now we're going to be talking about going further and way beyond just a screen. But before we do that, you became an aerospace engineer. Talk to us about that.
Well, it's kind of interesting. As a teenager, I found myself flipping between art and technology. And I actually had to decide, you know, what path to take. But in the end, you know, I had this vision of creating these immersive environments where essentially a performer could project their consciousness onto like a large dome structure and take audiences on a journey. I wrote a science fiction story about that as a teenager.
About domes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of freaky, actually. Because I saw, wow, the future of art is technology, and gee, who's going to make this stuff? Somebody's got to make it. I didn't see it emerging anywhere. So I decided to go into engineering and take that track so that, you know, I could help create these visions I was getting as a teenager.
And now you're actually doing that.
Yeah. It was a kind of a trip because, you know, I long forgot about the vision. After 7 years of aerospace engineering, you know, doing, you know, spy stuff like that, you know, various government agencies, some of whom still can't be named, you know.
You're talking about the real stuff. You're not talking about games here.
That's
you're,
right.
Yeah.
And you know, but things like making big ears that can listen to lots of radio communication or radar, you know, or jamming and, you know, electronic warfare kind of stuff.
Okay.
And intelligence, signal intelligence, electronic intelligence. So, you know, we're trying to find ways to expand the bandwidth, and one of the things we came up with is optical signal processing. It's like making computers out of light, lasers, and acoustic beams inside of crystals.
Wow.
Yeah, it's cool stuff. And when after 7 years, I realized, Ed, you know, this is all about, you know, battlefield management, kill ratios, you know, as you, right? And I was like, you know what? This is not why I went into this, and ended up quitting my job and went to work in a planetarium. And one of the first things I did was look at the laser light projectors, and I'm like, wait a second, there's a better way to do this. And we were able to take some of that military technology into the light show business, It ended up being adopted by just about everybody in the industry. It's called the polychromatic acousto-optic modulator, if you want. PCAOM is the technical name.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But basically, it allowed a huge laser projector breadboard to be miniaturized down to something quite small.
Did you and whoever else was a part of this at the time, did this happen fast? Because I remember going to see things and laser technology was very cool, but it was very rudimentary. And then all of a sudden, she's like, boom, it's like, I didn't know they could do that.
Yeah, that's right. Galvos and the scanners got faster. Everything went digital. But the RGB projectors were still big and clunky. And with the PCOM, now you could miniaturize it, just build it right into the laser head even. And it really helped proliferate that as an art form. But in some ways, though, it's funny because we just memorialized the passing of Ivan Dreyer, the founder of Laserium, with an event at our dome, actually, in downtown LA. And, you know, he was the master. Laserium was the master of creating very artistic Lumia effects. And when the RGB scanning got really good, a lot of the Lumia stuff, the cool stuff like that, went away, and it became stick figures and you know, line drawings like that.
Exactly. Interesting. So you at now at your where you are now in your career, you are doing both the technology and the artistic effects.
Sure.
And actually the building.
Honestly, much to. My chagrin, you know, they say if you love baking pies, don't start a pie baking business because that's the last pie you'll ever bake. It's been kind of like that. I would love to be doing the art right now, but I find myself in the position of holding the space for artists to come in and do their thing. And now seeing the need to build more infrastructure, more of these immersive theaters that we've been doing because there's really quite a demand. There's a backlog of artists who want access to this format.
So we'll talk more about that after the break, what that actually physically looks like for those who haven't experienced that. But before we do that, before the show, we were talking about we used to text, which was already a big thing because some of us were born and there wasn't texting around, right? And that's getting a text. Well, getting a beep at one time was exciting on our beepers, but then getting a text, and then we wanted images, and now we want videos. And so where is that going?
Well, of course, with virtual reality, you can strap your mobile phone to your face and have a VR headset. So, you know, essentially what we have is a progression of greater and greater informational bandwidth interconnecting us together. So I think of this as cyberspace. I mean, it's a common term. And, you know, when you are on your mobile device, you're actually entering like a cyber reality where it's a shared reality they're becoming more and more powerful. So with virtual reality, the bandwidth of to your brain is increased. So like a broadband interface through your eyes and ears. It's an informational interface, and we're starting to use more and more exploiting the natural pointing gestures, looking around, natural human perceptual abilities are now being exploited in our user interfaces.
Wow. And you're talking about the cell phone actually being able to see what we're seeing, how we're looking at it, and maybe even what we're thinking?
Well, ultimately, I mean, Facebook's working on a neural interface that will allow you to text with your brain five times faster. So I, you know, imagine, you know, we're ADD now multiplexing. Imagine, you know, being able to be having five text conversations simultaneously, you know.
And this is coming.
Oh, yeah. It's all coming. You know, as a display system engineer and you know, technologists like that, I mean, you know, everyone in the business sees what's coming. You know, what we see is that the cyber worlds that we'll be building are going to start becoming almost more attractive than the physical reality around us. But there really are, there's two general directions of technology. You have the VR, where pure virtual reality, where you put on a headset, you opaque out the world. that's headed towards the matrix, right? Your body's floating in amniotic fluid. You bypass your nervous system, and you're completely immersed in cyber world. But the other direction is the holodeck, which is where you bring a cyber reality into a physical space, a room that you're in, and you can interact with that data, maybe with gestures and naturally and without a headset or without – and make eye contact with other people in the room as well.
And but that limitless newness allows people to kind of go beyond what their definition of reality is, right?
Oh, that's right, because we're creating our own reality from our imagination. So let's say I want to be a billionaire and build skyscrapers. Well, if everyone does that, we're going to ruin the planet, right? But in a cyber world, you can have – endless, you know, real estate and build endless number of skyscrapers and maybe get people to come and hang out there.
And it'll feel like we built it. So that's – and that's within the dome experience, right?
Well, the domes are a special case of what's called augmented reality. It's called spatial augmented reality. So we're projecting out onto – instead of a headset, we're projecting out onto a movie screen that wraps around your head. And we've built domes that can hold up to several thousand people.
Wow. And what you do in there can change people and change the world. So when we come back, we'll want to talk about that specifically. And also a little later on, live music here in the studio with our guests, Cal David and Lori Bono, all on the Life Changes Show right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and of course our guest, Ed Lance, who is a entertainment technology engineer, an immersive experience designer, an innovator in giant screen digital cinema, an entrepreneur, and on and on. I'm fascinated by this subject matter, and I haven't had enough of these experiences, but I am looking forward to them, and I feel like I'm going to be experiencing them a lot, and we all are, I assume.
Yeah, I think ultimately, wherever you see a flat screen now, in the future, you'll see a curved screen possibly wrapping all the way around the back of your head.
So guide us through the experience of coming into a dome as you're envisioning them or as some of them already exist, I imagine.
Sure. You know, there's two general classes of theaters. There's more of a general purpose events dome, call it the Vortex Dome, where the dome is level, like a planetarium. You can have banquets, EDM parties, stage performances in these spaces, and you know, when somebody's performing, essentially, like my teenager vision, the entire environment that you've immersed your audience in is at the command of the artist.
Wow.
So they can wave their hand and make fire go into infinite space, you know, like that. So you're actually in a 360 immersive experience. You know, the other type of theater is more of a tilted dome. If you've ever been to a Disney and seen Soaring Over California, that's a 90-degree tilt, right? So the idea is the screen goes right out to your peripheral vision. In that case, there's wind blowing on you and scent, and you're on a motion platform that's swinging you around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're looking at more of a theater, but with stadium seating, tilted dome. And in the case of a cine theater, you have live performance stage built integrally into the dome so that performers can enter that space and interact with it. So by tilting the dome, you have more foreground. It comes, the image comes down to your knees instead of having to kind of look up like a planetarium.
And so there's a feeling of actually being immersed.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And in that case, tilting the dome, you really don't see much of the audience, and the lights go down, the theater disappears, and you're in the dome disappears. You're in infinite space. And the idea is to bring that infinite space seamlessly into the room onto the stage. So you can't tell where the stage ends and infinity begins, you know.
That sounds brilliant. I'm thinking now back to what I was sharing during the monologue. If there's a war scene on an immersive experience like that, it would feel like you're in a war.
Oh, absolutely. This is one of the things that folks don't quite realize yet in this, who are creating content in this space, is that VR and domes, you know, or these powerful immersive experiences trigger the root brain. The root brain is more to do with cognitive mapping of your sense of presence in a room or a space, you know, what's around you, also your sense of balance. So, you know, when we tilt the camera in a dome or whatever, people will hold onto their chairs thinking that the room is moving.
Mm, right. You know,
they'll come out and say, how did you make the whole theater spin around like that?
Mm.
So that makes the experience much more believable to the brain. And because of that, anything that could traumatize you in the physical real world could be presented so powerfully in a virtual environment that the brain has a similar response. So PTSD, you know, trauma, people's space being violated, sexual, you know, harassment, and these kinds of things can actually, you know, traumatize people.
What is I have a feeling that there isn't a way to stop that, that people are going to create for that.
We're waiting for the lawsuits to start flying. I mean, basically, you know, that's how our society works, you know. Mm-hmm. Somebody's harmed, they speak up and seek justice, and, you know, and it's only going to get more and more real, these environments. We have more pixels, we have more realistic surround sound, haptics, which is the sense of touch. Wow. There's smell dispensers, and people are working on even taste like that, synthesizing. So ultimately, you know, anything that you could experience in the physical world can be synthesized or simulated. And what's cool, of course, is in the cyber world, a lot of things that are not physically possible can also be done, you know. So you really transcend physical reality at that point.
You can be magical.
You can be magical, yeah.
This is where the lines are blurring. There's a, you know, a lot of theory and research being done on our existing physical world. And maybe the technology is just so great that we're actually in a simulation. And where does reality begin and end? And so, you know, this the whole move into immersive media is... It's powerful.
It's fascinating conjecture, philosophical in nature.
That's right. You're a skeptic.
Well, you know, I am science based.
Okay.
But I'm also very open minded, and you know, so but asking ultimate questions like where did we come from? Is this a simulation? It's great to speculate. I don't know how to do, you know, a lab test to substantiate it. That's
right.
All. You know.
Well, so the other good news, as opposed to the conversation we were having about people getting sick or hurt from an experience like that, is what you're mostly interested in, and that is actually people getting well and having positive experiences. Can you just describe that?
Sure. Well, you know, they say storytelling and entertainment really emerged out of shamanism and shamanistic storytelling and healing. And so the shaman was a storyteller who kept the tribe aligned and you know, sort of managed their belief systems, if you will. And beliefs, as we now know, are tuning filters on our perceptual filters, you know, tuning knobs on our perceptual filters. So when you have a particular worldview, you see the world according to that worldview. You actually change not just what you think, but you change what you're able to perceive. Your neural circuitry and the visual cortex rewires. So you, if you don't believe something, you're going to tend to not even see that. Mm. You know, so, you know, and in neuromarketing, they call it brand loyalty. Like if you are into Harley Davidson, and who cares if it leaks oil and sputters and, you know, that's just makes you more affectionate to the brand, you know. And
now,
so,
we're not saying that it does that. We're just saying as an example.
My favorite bike, yeah.
And I have friends who own dealerships. So.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like your perception really follows your belief system. Now, movies, as you pointed out, can somewhat rewire your belief systems. You can come out of a movie thinking a little differently about the world and seeing the world a little differently. Traveling abroad can have the same thing. Mm. Well, you know, guess what? You know, touring in cyberspace can have profound effect on the mind. And, you know, what I'm interested in is how storytelling, experiential storytelling, because it's not just about telling stories. You have the story dimension, but you also have the dimension of experience. And so those are like two axes. With the third axis being the mediation, how much do you control the story as a storyteller or allow people agency to float around and do their own thing? So, you know, this these sort of experiences can be crafted to do things like, for instance, see the world through other eyes. And Chris Milk is a VR producer who's really made a lot of has spoken quite a bit about how VR is an empathy machine. That so you put on a headset, you're seeing the world through other eyes. Mm. You can become another person, and it can profoundly change how you see the world.
Well, you could literally walk a mile in somebody else's moccasins.
That's right. Yep. That's right. Now, just as an example, Noni De La Pina, who's an immersive journalist in virtual reality, created this experience called Syria. And it was an experience of being in Syria. And I saw the video clip, and it looked cool. And I curated it into SIGGRAPH, a conference that we created this VR village. And but when I actually experienced it with the headset on, you're standing in a street corner in Syria. There's some guys over here speaking Arabic. There's some children playing over there.
Oh, wow.
Kaboom, a bomb goes off. Oh. People screaming. There's smoke everywhere. There's chaos. I started crying. I had to take the headset off. Mm. So if you see that as a movie on a screen, it's like, oh, yeah, I saw that movie. You put the headset on, and it's a completely different experience.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So the spas.
Digital spa.
Yeah, take me out of the-
Well, you know, I mentioned Laserium, you know, a delightful experience of synesthesia. You have music, you have art that's very immersive and all surrounding you, and beautiful, highly saturated laser colors. That's an example of this sort of technology having a profound effect on the brain and triggering brain states that you're not going to get from a movie. Mm. You really don't get that same sense of synesthesia any other way. So in a similar way, you know, how can we evoke unique brain states using this technology. And when I'm saying unique brain states, there's really a plethora of things that we can do. We can energize you. We can relax you. We can bring you into deep contemplative kind of states, dream states, deep alpha and like that.
Can actually take us physically to those states.
Well, physically in the sense of your neural response, you can evoke. So you evoke the sensation. So, for instance, since a teenager have been meditating, and it can be pretty challenging. Basically, you sit there and focus on your breath and do that for 7 years, and you start to get some real, beneficial effects. You start to get it. Of course, it really doesn't take that long to have beneficial effects. But I believe that immersive media can accelerate that, those same brain states, much faster than having to sort of manually stumble on it through that practice. It's like playing scales. Instead, give me a piano that I can never hit a wrong note, and I'm just going to, go crazy with it, right? So as a content creator. So here,
we can be even bigger stars in our own mind. Masters at guitar, would be just go
sure.
Nuts.
And those technologies all exist. I think amplification of your personal self expression is, I don't know. I find it to be a transformative experience, like drum circles or whatever like that, where you, rhythm is pretty easy for most people, and you can contribute or you can dance or you can pick up a rhythm instrument and. So, when I see people come into these participatory environments, which, Burning Man's another participatory art festival, it changes people.
Yeah.
It's like creative expression there's an inherent creative urge to creatively express in the human nature,
I agree with you, and I like that. I'm looking forward to learning more about this. For those of you who want to learn more, they could go to vortexdomes.com, right?
That's
starters.
It.
Mm-hmm. So Vortex, V-O-R-T-E-X, Domes, D-O-M-E-S.com, vortexdomes.com, and learn more about what Ed has been talking about. And some of this already exists, and on the website you can find out more about that as well.
We have a show coming up on November 11th, the Refractor Piano.
Is that on the website?
It ought to be.
Or on Facebook?
Facebook,
maybe?
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Facebook.
Yep.
Is it Vortex Domes on Facebook or is it Ed Lance?
Vortex Domes. Ed Lance. I'm happy to tie you in.
People can follow you. Mm-hmm. Well, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. And is there an educational component as well that you're...
Well, the interesting thing is there's actually 1,500 digital domes already in the planetariums and science centers. Right? So they're being used, for night sky astronomy and like that. There's no reason you can't do a whole lot of other things in those environments.
Looking forward to that. Thank you so much for being here, Ed, and educating us on that and what we can look forward to in the future. And looking forward to connecting more with you and learning more as well and potentially being involved. Ed Lance, Vortex Domes, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks,
guys. Right back with our Ask Dorothy segment, and right after that, live music here in the studio with Cal David and Lori Bono on the Life Changes Show after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, "When the student is ready, the teacher appears." Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network.
You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark Lejeur, and we have our live musical guests coming up in just a moment. But before that, Mark, do we have some shout-outs and some Ask Dorothy segments?
We do. We have. I want to give a shout-out to our very own creative director, Brent Hahn, at Studio NoHo, which is the home base for Radioactive commercials. Brent does such a great job taking care of all of his clientele, but we're very lucky to be here, and he makes us sound so good. For over 10 years, they have been an award-winning recording, sound designing, and mixer of radio spots and original music. Check out studionoho.net. Dorothy, I am Jim from Los Angeles, and I am totally depressed. I just can't seem to get a break, and I don't understand why. All of my life, I have done my very best to be a good man and do the right thing for everyone involved. I care about the future of the planet and have done my very best to treat everyone the way I want to be treated. I've worked on a lot of life-changing projects that looked so good, and then at the last minute, they blow up in my face. What's going on? And how do I change my life into one of prosperity and joy instead of living one filled with lack and despair? I've lost all hope for a better future.
Wow, Jim, I totally understand how you feel. For way too long, I lived a life much like the one you're describing right now. I had a PhD in victimhood and a master's in pity me. However, once I fully grasped the truth that tomorrow is what we believe, think, feel, do, and say today, and once I began to monitor my thoughts and my words and my actions, I changed my life to one that is filled with joy and gratitude for all of the good that comes to me. Once I stepped out of hope and into faith, trust, and knowing, I began manifesting my true destiny. When I was living from the victim model, I believed life was hard, and I focused on the fact that I didn't have enough in the bank to take care of my bills. When a bill would come in that wasn't due for at least 2 weeks, I would hold on to the money that I did have in case something came up that I would need the money for. And guess what? Something always came up. And then the bill would have to be paid late, and late charges would accrue. And then a miracle occurred. I came to a very clear understanding that human beings co-create their realities and that the law of attraction really does work all of the time. Once I began monitoring all of my thoughts, I realized that my focus was on fears and worries and doubts for most of the time, and I was manifesting a life that was filled with despair. I enlisted the aid of my loved ones to assist me in changing my thoughts into ones that served me, and they would lovingly suggest that I restate any negatives that came out of my mouth until positivity became my mode of being. It takes constant attention and will not happen overnight, and yet it can and will happen for you as it did for me. I'm absolute proof that we are the power in our world and that we are all capable of changing our circumstances. I trust that you will embrace this and begin changing your life now and join me in living in love, peace, and joy.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if any of you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
Well, thank you, Dorothy, and we'll be right back with Cal David and Lori Bono here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention.
It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to dorothydonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Ed Lanz. And joining us in the studio, this is so exciting, we have somebody that's been described as a living legend among us, an American blues guitarist and singer and songwriter and Cal David and singer-songwriter and celebrated singer-songwriter, I should say, Lori Bono. Welcome to the show, the two of yous.
Thank you very much. Here we are.
Well, this is true. Here we are finally, because you all have been touring so much, Europe and East Coast and all that. We haven't been able to get a date together, and I can't believe you're finally in the studio.
I know.
Thank you.
And you were gone last time.
And I was gone last time. This is true. And Lori and I are on our way to figuring out how we're related, because we just know we are.
We sure we are.
But Cal, you and I might be too. I mean, I'm not. You know, leaving that out of the
equation. You never know. Yeah. You never just know.
And I would be so honored. You too have amassed so many fans throughout the world. I mean, Cal, you've worked with so many legends as well. You had a TV show, your own TV show. The two of you have sung with so many people. I mean, Etta James. I mean, we can do that thing, but I'd like to know mainly from you this whole experience. If you knew it was going to be this way, would you do it again?
No yes. question.
Would you say?
No question.
what else would we do?
It beats
right?
working.
Right. But you work really hard, because to do what you do, you can't. You've worked really hard, and to get to all these gigs and deal with all the things you have to deal with, it's hard work.
It is work. I charge big money to travel and to set up my gear, and then the music is free.
Nice.
So that's how I look at it.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah, that's how it is.
Wow.
We always both knew we were going to have this kind of career. We thought we'd be more famous maybe, but who needs that, right? As long as the people love the music and we love doing it.
And people do. And it's interesting that this actually, you're about to release this month a new CD.
Yes.
That's going to make you even more famous than you already are. And you have distribution all over the world for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And can we mention that? Or
sure.
I think we should. We're going to have a release of the CD at the end of October.
Okay.
So I can't play it for you.
No, but I thought we were going to get a sneak preview of one of the songs.
Yeah, I think we might do one of the songs.
Sure.
Okay. And then, so, yeah. But people can learn more at caldavid.com. That's easy. K-A-L David,
yes.
D-A-V-I-D.com, caldavid.com. Mm-hmm. And there they can learn about Lori Bono and Cal David. So your CD's coming out at the end of the month, and you will be having a CD release party. You're going to
yes.
be at the Purple Room in...
I think at the Purple Room, probably in November.
Yeah, okay, in Palm Springs. And you're actually there this Friday.
We play there on a Friday, usually once a month.
Really?
On a Friday.
Okay.
This Friday is kind of a big deal because it's a reunion of Lori's girl group.
Yeah, my girl group, the Brunettes.
The Brunettes.
So, yeah. What was that called?
The Brunettes.
The Brunettes.
And by the way, there wasn't a brunette among them.
None of us were brunettes. Okay. Well, I was a long time ago.
Actually, and speaking of girl groups, you've sung behind Bette Midler one of those, whatever they...
I was a harlot.
A harlot, yeah. Right. Okay. And then also, did you both sing behind Etta James?
We did.
We were both in Etta's band.
Okay,
yeah.
But Cal, you played and sang.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So you, the two of you, you can't say that you're just singing. I mean, it's like people have tried to describe your guitar playing and why you're a legend, Cal. You're not just playing your guitar. You're singing and you also do things on the guitar that a lot of people don't do in blues. But the two of you, there's something going on between the two of you. Like your harmonies are tight, but your vibrato is like together too. How did you do that?
That was from the first time we ever sang together was like that. So we looked at each other and went, what? Wow.
We didn't rehearse that. As we're growing older, Laurie and I have been singing together for 40 years.
Wow.
But as we're growing older, is that
I'm
bad?
I'm only 39.
Yeah. Is that bad to say that? As we're growing older, our vibratos have both slowed down a little bit, but at the same speed. So we're
it's amazing.
Still matched.
It's amazing. Well, I could talk with you two for hours, and I look forward to doing more of that. But in the meantime, I'd love to have everybody get to hear a piece.
Great.
So what are we going to hear first?
I'm going to do Same Love. It's a song I wrote for the new album.
Nice.
This one was in tribute to Mavis Staples, the Staples Singers.
Ah. And is this like world premiere on radio and right
yes,
here
it
live?
Yes, you're all the first to hear it.
Oh, this is exciting. And it's called what again?
Same Love.
Same Love. Like Same Love is, like, is this a good thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure. So here is Cal David and Laurie Bono singing Same Love off the album called?
It's called
Paragon.
It's called Paragon.
It's called Paragon.
Paragon.
Yeah. Which is really dedicated to all the people that influenced us, all the great paragons of music.
Nice.
And
yeah.
Nice. And well, here it is, live on the Life Changes show, here at Studio NoHo.
All around the world, wherever we may be, people are looking, but they can't see. All around the world, everybody needs some help. Treat everybody with the same love you want for yourself. Treat everybody with the same love you want for yourself. All around the world, everywhere we go, plenty of people talking, but they don't know. All around the world, everybody needs some help, some help. Treat everybody with the same love you want for yourself. Treat everybody with the same love you want for yourself. All around the world, there's misery. Try some kindness, that's the way it should be. All around the world, everybody needs some help. Give them some help. Treat everybody with the same love you want for yourself. Treat everybody with the same love you want for yourself. Thank you. show some kindness, that's the way it should be. All around the world, everybody needs some help. Give them some help. Treat everybody with the same love you want for yourself. Treat everybody with the same love you want for yourself.
Nice. Treat everybody with the same love you want for yourself. I've never heard it said that way. Thank you, Lori. Who wrote that? You wrote that, Lori? Nice. Thank you. So that's on the new album. We have so much to look forward to then, if it's like that. Is this the one that I heard you were talking about? You recorded in Europe or Germany?
Yes, in Germany.
Okay, and that was just this summer, right?
Yes. In June. We did that record there, the Dream record. We did that 2 years ago at the same studio in Germany.
So Living the Dream is one of their last records, but they actually have so many CDs, actually, and they can learn about them all at
caldavid.com.
Caldavid.com. Mm-hmm. So what's you, Lori, have been singing since you were really
14.
Little. and so... You then went to Vegas. I mean, you did the whole thing, and you actually stopped, mm-hmm. right? Because you weren't ready for it, or it wasn't right for you.
Well, I just
to do
didn't
want to
stay in Las Vegas at the time. Yeah. I should have. Maybe not.
I don't think you should have.
It's how it is,
right.
Whatever.
You wouldn't have met Cal if you had stayed
exactly.
there, right?
Exactly.
Right?
There you go.
So what are you talking about? I should Now, you all met at Woodstock, but the city, not the
town of Woodstock.
Okay,
yeah.
But out there, you also both worked with and met a lot of mm-hmm. musicians. It was like a mecca.
I was singing jazz, mm-hmm. and he had his rock and roll band.
Well, we were R&B.
R&B.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blues rock, I suppose.
Blues rock, yeah, that's good.
I was told by my partner, Harvey Brooks, who's a great bass player. Mm. Harvey was playing with Lori that night. And he said, you should come down and check it out. I went down there, and all the jazz guys in town had their horns out ready to sit in. You know, everybody wanted to play some jazz because she was the jazz gig in town.
Nice.
And I said, wow, she's pretty.
And?
Wait, he was getting, she's pretty.
Get to the good part.
What part? What's the rest of the story?
Well, wait. I want to hear.
Forget it.
You said, wow, she's pretty.
Yeah.
And then?
And I said, I'm Cal, and I'm making some demos, and I'd like to use you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Lori put her, she put her hand
I
on her hip.
I wish you could see my face right
she
now.
She put her hand on her hip, and she said, you want to use me?
He didn't know what he was getting into.
No, I knew right then that this was somebody different.
It ended up very well.
Yeah. You know, I heard this exact, this is interesting. I heard this exact story from Lori on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And she said it the exact same
way. I told
you
that, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm impressed. You both have the same story about that.
Well.
We've been together 40 years. But, you know, there's only so many stories. We both remember them.
But he was a star at the time as well, and you didn't know if you wanted to
He was
go.
A big man in Woodstock.
Yeah.
A lot of girlfriends.
Yeah.
And I said, well, okay.
Then the rest is history.
Yeah.
I like this quote so much by Johnny Rivers, and I just have to read this short part. When it came to his solo, meaning Cal David, it was like flashback to my childhood in South Louisiana when the real players such as B.B. King and Johnny Guitar Watson and Jimmy Reed, John Lee Hooker, and the like would come through town. The best of the players knew this guy was the real deal. I had found my favorite guitar players all wrapped up in one. I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to say, Cal's voice, style, and sound matched his guitar playing. It was also the real deal. And so Cal, are we going
to... I didn't have to pay him that much to say those things.
And that's Johnny Rivers. You're so modest. Are you... and actually, I should mention, I got to meet the two of you thanks to our mutual friends, Greg Lee and Miguel Lee Leon. Yep. And so I'm... Shout out to them. And then I got to come to your house, and Lori cooked like crazy. You cook.
I cook.
Yeah.
I cook, yes.
Your Italian heritage or something. I mean, she had this spread. It was amazing. Anyway, so I just have to do that. She not only sings, she cooks, and she's beautiful. Right, Cal?
All that and all. More.
So we're going to get to hear something. Is this now from the
Living the Dream? The Dream, yeah.
Okay, and which song is it?
This one is called Say Yeah.
Say Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. You know, instead of yes, you say yeah.
Or it's not say yo.
It's a colloquialism.
No, it's not yo.
It's a colloquialism.
All right, so here's Cal David, Lori Bono from Living the Dream CD singing Say Yeah here on the Life Changes Show live at Studio NoHo.
Change, and that change is overdue. Did you get the message that it all begins with you? Say yeah. Say yeah. Now you've been told, forget your goals, accept reality. If you have a vision of what this world can be, say yeah. If you're dreaming of a better day, and you know that day will come, say yeah. Say yeah. Now wrong is wrong, and right is right. There's not much in between. Treat all those around you with love and dignity. If something happens to one of us, it happens to us all. And the only way to save the day is to stand up tall and say yeah. Say yeah. If you're dreaming of a better day and you know that day will come, say yeah. Not much in between. Treat all those around you with love and dignity. When something happens to one of us, it happens to us all. And the only way to save the day is to stand up tall and say yeah. Say yeah. If you're dreaming of a better day, and you know the day will come, say yeah. Say yeah. Everybody, say yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't know I was supposed to say yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't want to.
I should have warned you.
Cal David and like, Lori Bono, Say Yeah from Living the Dream CD. Go to Cal David, KALDAVID, caldavid.com to learn more about where you could see them. Again, they're going to be at the Purple Room. They're going to drop their record at the end of this month, and mm-hmm. everybody will go out and rush out to get it.
Yeah, and it's going to be amazing.
and yeah, this is exciting. Now, the last record, Living the Dream, you got Album of the Year or something from Damn Good Tunes, and yep. they don't do that. So
no.
Congratulations. And then the album before that got critical acclaim. And so just keep it going. Thank you so much.
We must.
And actually, I got to hear this song live on Saturday night with the band. It wasn't even the whole band, right?
That was pretty much the whole band.
And so there were like three other pieces or four. What was that?
Two others besides us.
Oh, really? It
drums
sounded like a lot more.
Keys.
Oh, okay.
Keyboard player plays left-hand bass.
Yeah, and so there was that. Oh, that's what it is. Really? You don't have. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He's a busy
He's great.
Guy.
Yeah.
He's really good.
But that song really kicks. So people are gonna want to get the CD and hear it. But I'm so glad you did the unplugged version for us.
Thank you
for much so much. That was very special. Well, you two are both very special and more becoming very special. Me, thank you for being here.
I feel the same way.
We wish you all the best with that. And again, tell us the name of the CD and tell us.
It's called Paragon.
Paragon.
There will also be vinyl records.
Wow.
Yeah. That'll be all closer to Christmas. So that's pretty exciting.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah,
this is exciting. And so, caldavid.com.
Right. Lee Ballin did the cover for this.
Say it again.
I used one of Lee Ballin's paintings as the cover of Paragon.
Oh, I look forward to seeing that.
Yeah.
Very nice. Okay. Well, very well done. And so with that, thank you once again to Cal David and Lori Bono and to our guest, Ed Lance. That's our show. On behalf of our whole team here, we want to thank Brent Hahn, our technical director here at Studio NoHo.
Thank you,
and
Brent.
A thank you goes out to Doug Newsom at BBS Radio Network for being our program manager. On behalf of Dorothy Donahue, our executive producer, Mark Legere, our producer, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.